Welcome to Opus Here. My name is Greg Horn. We have been talking about, is anything too hard for the Lord? Are you going through a really challenging season right now and just wonder if, it feels so overwhelming that you're like, God, I don't even know if you can even intervene in this. Well, we've been talking about a passage in the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 18, where God appeared to Abraham and just out, he was sitting under a tree on a hot day, and he just showed up one day, and we've been just sharing things that we can learn and apply to our lives from these 15 verses in chapter 18. And if you missed our first two programs, I want to encourage you to go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today, and check out these programs. And I read that passage of scripture there about the Lord appearing to Abraham, and conversation led to him reminding them that he told him and Sarah, his wife, Abraham's wife, that he was going to bless them with a child. But like us, a lot of times we have to be reminded, even though God had told him that in chapter 17, he comes back, shows up, do that in 18. And of course, Sarah was listening in the tent near the tree, and she started laughing because they were way past age. Historians of the Bible talks that they're over, I believe, the age of 80, and yet we're going to try to conceive. And so just some really powerful things I think we can take away from this that we can apply in our own lives over 2,000 years later. And so I love reading the Bible. I just keep learning new things every time I do open it up, and want to encourage you to read your Bible. And obviously you can do it with an app on the phone. I do that quite often, but I also love just getting into my Bible, my physical Bible, and one that was given to me by my good friend Anthony Combs when my dad died back in March of 2016. And I've been using that a lot. That's been my main Bible ever since March 21st, 2016. And man, I love just writing in it and marking stars by things that God really speaks to me. But I did just want to share four things that we can learn and apply to our lives. And the first one I shared yesterday was, God can show up anytime and anywhere. Sometimes we don't know if God can show up in a certain place, but I want to remind you that God can just show up anytime, anywhere, like he did to Abraham in chapter 18, verse 1. He's just sitting underneath a tree near his tent in the heat of a hot day. And so that was my first thing. The second thing that I think we can learn and apply to our lives from this passage in Genesis chapter 18 is, meals are a great time to recognize God as our provider. It talks about in the verses, in verse 6, that Abraham hurried to his tent to Sarah, to his wife Sarah, and said, quick, let's get some bread, bake some bread, please. And then he ran to his herd and selected a choice tender calf and had a servant prepare it. He also brought him some curds and milk, then the calf that was prepared. And so he knew it was the Lord. I'm not sure who the other two, but it talks about that three men showed up at the entrance to his tent while he was sitting under a tree one day. I think about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit I talked about in the first program we did on this two programs ago. But he put a meal together and wanted to make it a good meal, a special meal. And hopefully you're already doing this, but man, I know sometimes we all get in a hurry, but man, when you have a meal, whether it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner, I want to encourage you just to take a moment and thank God for providing that meal and bless it. Bless the hands that prepared it and help it to nourish your bodies. And it's just a great chance to slow down and do what Psalm 46:10 says, and that is to be still and know that I am God. So I want to encourage you, and especially those with children and grandchildren, and and you can pray with your eyes open if you're a little awkward about bowing your head and closing your eyes, even though I think, man, that's the least I can do if Jesus died on the cross for me in an excruciating death, is bow my head and close my eyes and pray in a restaurant. But if that's a little out of your comfort box, you can pray with your eyes open. There's not a Bible verse that says you have to bow your head and close your eyes, but it is a way just to humble yourself and to totally focus on God. But I want to remind you, meals are a great time to recognize God as our provider and blessing. First Chronicles chapter 29, verse 12 says, both riches and honor come from you, Lord, and you rule over all, and in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Friends, I mean, man, you go through that verse, I mean, power and might's in his hand, and God is the one that makes people great and gives strength to everyone. We got to be reminded God is our provider. And my simple prayer 6 years ago when I just kind of stepped out in faith was, God, you're my protector and my provider. I left a job at a good church with a good salary and benefits, and yet I just felt like my season was over there. And it was a little concerning and scary at times, but I just started praying a simple prayer every day. God, you're my protector and provider. And I tried to pray that also before each meal I ate. So meals are a great time to recognize God as our provider. Third thing from this passage in Genesis chapter 18, be careful about putting God in a box. Now, like I've said in the first two programs, we kind of give Sarah a hard time because she's laughing when God reminds them that he is going to provide a child, even though they are way up in age. But he does. And we know that as we go on and read in the Bible, but she laughs and then she gets called out by the Lord. And he simply looks at Abraham and says, is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, I did not laugh. But the Lord said, yes, you did laugh. And we've all been there. I shared in the first program that I did on this passage of Scripture that we tell God we're not going to speed anymore if we pass a state police officer or a city police officer on New Circle Road, and yet we lie to God, too, sometimes about things we say that we're not going to do anymore. So we don't want to be too hard on Sarah. And yet, I can't blame her. And yet, we do the same thing over 2,000 years later. We put God in a box and limit him on what he can do. But I also know that sometimes I have suffered, and maybe you can relate to this, by what is called paralysis by analysis. And some of you are like, okay, I know what that means, but there's others like, what does that mean? Paralysis by analysis. Well, what it means is when you just analyze something backwards, forwards, upside down, inside out, you research it on the internet, you've read books, you call other friends, and you ask them their opinion, and yet you keep procrastinating making a decision because you don't know if you can make a perfect decision. And I think it was Andy Stanley I heard one time, after you've done research, you've read, you know, is it back up with the Bible, you know, is it God-honoring decisions, you've gotten some wise counsel. If you're at like 80%, that's about as good as it's going to get. You need to go on and make the decision either way, but make one. And, of course, sometimes, I'm sure you've heard this saying, not making a decision, indecision, is actually a decision. And so I want to encourage you to be careful about putting God in a box and limiting him. And Jesus even said in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, he looked at the people and said, with people, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And I love that he said all things are possible. Not some things, not most things, but all things are possible. And that's a beautiful thing, because sometimes, though, we focus on what we don't have, and instead of working with what we do have, you know, don't let, because you're limited in one area of resources in your life, keep you from doing with what you already have. I mean, we know what God did with the two fish and the five loaves of bread. You know, he fed over 5,000 people. And sometimes we just look and say, oh, well, I don't have enough to feed anybody, so I'm not going to do it. And he could easily have done that with the two fish and the five loaves of bread. Yet he took what God had given him and he blessed it. And then they even took up leftovers. And so I want to encourage you today, man, do not put God in a box. And if you're like, man, I'd love to do this, but I can't because I don't have this. Well, ask God, what is it that you have given me that I can at least get started on this project or this vision that you put in my heart? The final thing that I want to share with you today on this passage in Genesis chapter 18 is there's great news that we can be honest with God. We've talked about Sarah each day a little bit, about laughing when the Lord reminded Abraham that he was going to provide a child for them, and it was going to be through them doing it, not the immaculate birth like it was with Jesus when the Virgin Mary had him, that they were actually going to produce it. And yet Sarah was in the tent. They were sitting under the tree, the Lord and Abraham, but she started laughing. The Lord heard her. And yet, I love that we can be honest with God, and he didn't take away the blessing of them having a child because Sarah laughed at what God had said already in chapter 17, but then brought it up again when he showed up unexpectedly in chapter 18 in a conversation with Abraham. Some of you think, well, God can't bless me because I've made this mistake. And yet, I want to remind you that the Bible says when we ask God for forgiveness and we repent, walk away from our sin or our selfish decisions, that he remembers it no more. But I've found in my life that we are the ones that keep hitting the rewind button and playing it over and over and over again. And God's like, you know, man, I thought we moved on past that. Why do you keep hitting the rewind button? I also love in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, if we are faithless, God remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. And also Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Now, normally we think about this verse at Christmas time, when it's predicting several hundred years before that Jesus is going to come. But I want to ask you today, what of these four do you need God to be in your life? Do you need to be a wonderful counselor? Do you just need some wisdom? Or do you feel weak and you just need to be a mighty God in your life? Or maybe you didn't have a dad, or maybe your earthly father just, you know, did the best he could but just wasn't that great a father. You need to be an everlasting father. You just need some support and to know that you're loved and cared for. Or maybe you're suffering from anxiety and you're so stressed out and you just need Jesus to be the Prince of Peace in your life. Well, I don't know what that is, but God knows which one you need. And maybe you need all four. And the great news today is, as we've been talking about, is anything too hard for the Lord off this passage in Genesis chapter 18, verse 13, that whatever you need God to be, whether it's a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting father, or be your Prince of Peace, that whatever you ask him to be, he will be. And so I'm not sure what it is you need him to be today, but I want to promise you that he will be that counselor. He'll be that mighty God. He will be your everlasting father, and he will be your Prince of Peace. And maybe you need to write Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 on a post-it note. Place it in your bathroom mirror, maybe on your refrigerator, in the dashboard of your car, in your cubicle at work, or on your laptop. Just being reminded that God can meet whatever need it is that you have for him in your life. Well, I hope you'll spend some time reading that passage in chapter 18, and maybe there'll be some things that'll speak to you besides the four that I share with you this week. My name is Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here. Need help selling your home? Are you looking to buy your dream home? Let Diana Fields and her team with the Millennium Real Estate Group at Keller Williams Bluegrass Realty help you. Serving Central Kentucky in real estate and property management for 21 years, Diana Fields and the Millennium team have the experience to help you with one of life's biggest decisions in buying or selling a home. Contact Diana Fields today at 859-621-0604 or online at millenniumlex.com. That's millenniumlex.com.